Chapter 4. My sister had never been very emotional, but there were tears shining in the corners of her eyes now, and she turned into me with her head tucked into my shoulder. My arms came up around her automatically, and I rested my cheek against her hair. I felt her shake with silent cries for a few moments, but then she pushed away from me, wiped quickly at her eyes, and turned to Kyla.
Renee said you'd give us rooms? She did.
Kyla nodded and then looked at me.
But I think we should get your arm healed properly first.
I had to admit, I was pretty intrigued by the idea of seeing healing magic, so I nodded and followed Kyla down the hall. I realized a few moments later that I was holding my left arm, my uninjured arm, out behind me, like I had when Carmen and I were children. I used to raise it slightly in a silent offer for her to take it, and now I glanced behind me to see Carmen looking at my wrist like she was tempted to latch onto my sleeve, like we were 8 years old once again. And she looked up and met my gaze, and we both let out a short, breathless laugh, at once both embarrassed and relieved. I wasn't crazy, but if I had had to grow up without my sister, I probably would have been. So, how come you and Keegan react differently to healing magic? I asked Kyla, and I quickened my pace a little to walk alongside her. Carmen did the same, and came to walk on my other side, and even without looking at her, I knew she would be desperately curious.
To some extent, everyone reacts differently to magic.
Kyla answered with a shrug.
But my and Keegan's magic is, well, not the same as an average eye's. Of course, healing magic is also extremely complicated anyway. It is? Why? Because the human body is complicated. It's not just waving your hand over a wound and telling it to heal. You have to know how to repair blood vessels and tissues, how to make sure no external pathogens get stuck inside. Internal bleeding is a massive risk. You have to start inside and work your way out.
Oh. You seem to know a lot about healing magic, I said in an impressed tone, and Kyla flushed a little. Her skin was so fair the blush stood out bright pink on her high cheekbones. She really was insanely gorgeous.
Not really. Sami knows a lot more.
She said, and twisted a blonde curl around her finger again.
Which is why I'm taking you both to her. Is she not a healer? You seemed surprised she was on duty.
Kyla's mouth tightened a little at that. The concern that had been pushed to the edges of her expression came rushing back, and I could tell it was bigger than her being worried for her brother.
The Order doesn't have as many healers as it would like.
That's always the way, I replied. I thought about raising a hand to pat her shoulder in comfort, but I hesitated just a moment too long. Yeah, we never had enough medics either. I pushed the memories down before they could fully surface. The medics had always been the ones with the hollowest looks in their eyes, and the ones I'd been most worried about. It was the idea of losing someone who could have maybe been saved, and being trapped forever in a loop of what could I have done differently, or how could I have saved him, that drove people mad. It was the guilt and the knowledge that really, it just came down to dumb fucking luck. To the eternal credit of my friends and sister, no one had asked why I'd chosen to leave at the end of my tour. None of them had needed to ask. I felt something tug on my sleeve and turned to see Carmen. She was watching me with a worried look in her eyes, so I smiled encouragingly. I'm all right, monkey, I said. It maybe wasn't entirely the truth, but it was far enough from a lie that I didn't feel bad about it. I was the older twin by a mere 11 minutes, but the older twin all the same. And even before we'd lost our parents, I'd felt protective over Carmen. It was my job to keep her safe and out of trouble, and we weren't in the business of lying to one another. But sometimes a gentle reframing of the truth was kinder than blunt and tactless honesty. Eventually, the three of us came to another magnificent set of doors, but these ones didn't have a huge eye in the middle of them. Instead, they were inlaid with symbols I could only describe as runes. Like the blood sigil Keegan had drawn on the mirror, only not exactly the same. In retrospect, I could look at that symbol and get a vague, murky idea of what it meant. Travel. These symbols seemed to say quench, or maybe extinguish.
Wards against fire.
Kyla explained when she noticed me trying to, well, I guess I was trying to translate them, despite the fact they were in a language I'd never seen before tonight.
A precaution. So this is a library?
Carmen asked, and her brown eyes went wide with excitement.
A library full of magic books? Well, the books themselves aren't magic, but yes.
Carmen practically bounced on her feet as Kyla pushed open the library doors and revealed a room easily the size of the entrance hall, only it was plastered wall to wall with bookshelves. Where in Renee's office the shelves had stopped at about 7 feet, here they reached to the top of the walls, with ladders on wheels dotted around so people could get to the highest reaches. The domed ceiling was a mosaic of tinted glass that cast a multicolored patchwork of light over the huge, circular space in the very center of the room, and standalone shelves were organized around that space in concentric circles, but they were shorter, only 6 or 7 feet tall. I was sure there were at least 1 million books in this single room. At my side, Carmen looked almost ready to explode.
Sami!
Kyla called as she stepped inside.
You in here? Kyla?
Came a voice from the depths of the shelves, and a few seconds later a young woman popped out with her arms filled with books. Her face lit up when she saw Kyla, and she set the books down so she could literally run toward Kyla and hug her.
Kyla, you're back! I am.
Kyla confirmed as she returned the other woman's hug.
Keegan and I, we hit a couple snags. Jasper's fixing him up in the infirmary. Oh, no!
A distressed expression overtook the woman's face.
He'll be all right, won't he? Thanks to a little help we got from these two.
Kyla said with a nod to Carmen and I.
This is Leo and Carmen Rivera. Leo hurt his arm when he jumped in to help us. I was hoping you could fix him up.
The woman finished with a smile.
Of course. Let me see.
Thank you for your help, I said politely.
No problem. I'm Asami, by the way. Asami Tanaka.
She stepped forward with her hands outstretched, and I rolled up my sleeve to show her the bandage. It's nice to meet you, I replied with a smile. So, Sami was obviously a nickname. Asami Tanaka was shorter than Kyla by several inches, which made her almost an entire foot shorter than me. I was a bit over 6, and Asami couldn't have been more than 5'2". Her long, dark hair was ruthlessly straight, and it had the glossy sheen of a raven's feathers that looked almost blue in certain lights. As she peeled the bandage off my arm, I saw that while she was still paler than me, she wasn't as pale as Kyla, who I'd begun to suspect might have some Irish blood, like my friend Roy. Then Asami looked up at me, with eyes so dark they seemed almost black, and I saw she had a stud in her nose. So, you can do magic? I asked her, as I tried not to think about how pretty she was. Like Kyla?
Well, not exactly like Kyla. Everyone's magical talents are different. My primary skill is illusion magic, which is pretty common, but I also have some talent with healing magic, like this.
I watched as Asami placed 2 fingertips at the top of the laceration on my arm, one either side. Then she slowly dragged them down along the length of the cut, and the skin knitted itself back together as if... Well, it was not as if, because it really was magic. When she'd finished, there was only a faint reddish line on my skin to show there had ever been a wound there. Holy shit. I blinked at my near-flawless skin, and then I grinned at Asami. You're incredible.
It's nothing, really.
Asami said as a light blush dusted itself across her cheeks.
My healing is pretty rudimentary. It's nothing like what Jasper and the others can do.
Well, it's a hell of a lot more than what I could do. Oh, seriously, thank you. Not even a scar. It wasn't that I didn't like scars. In fact, I already had several. One on my shoulder from where I was 7 and fallen off my bike and skidded over asphalt. Another on my stomach from when I'd had chicken pox as a baby. One above my left eye, almost hidden by my eyebrow, where a piece of shrapnel had nearly come dangerously close to blinding me. But I knew that scars were a result of the human immune system prioritizing speed over aesthetics. Scar tissue was thick and didn't move well, but it was fast and resilient against further damage. Magic, it seemed, negated all of that.
Well,
Asami said with a faint smile.
You're very welcome.
I finally looked up from my arm then, and noticed the pile of books she'd set aside on one of the desks. Are you reading those?
Oh, no.
Asami said as she glanced back to see what I'd been talking about.
Well, not for pleasure. We have a few eyes running a job in Pennsylvania, and they needed me to translate some sources. They can't read ancient Greek.
My eyes widened. You can?
Pretty much. I'm not completely fluent yet, though. My Latin is better.
Oh, you can read Latin, too.
And Linear B, and cuneiform. Sumerian.
She clarified when she saw I didn't know what that one was.
Plus some modern languages, French, German, that sort of thing, but there aren't as many old sources written in those languages.
I took a step toward the small pile of books and saw that, sure enough, none of them were in English. Aside from one book I recognized was in Latin, I didn't even recognize any of the alphabets. And Asami could actually read these. Like I said, I turned back to her and grinned. Incredible. Asami flushed again and dropped my gaze. Her eyes then slid over to something behind me, and I turned to see Carmen was excitedly quizzing Kyla on magic.
Could I learn to fly? Not without wings, sorry. What about teleportation? The only kind I know about is mirror travel. Shapeshifting? Oh, of course. Werewolves are shapeshifters, after all. Shape-changing magic is complex, but very possible.
Oh, maybe you can learn to turn yourself into a real monkey. I teased, and Carmen scowled at me.
Is there a spell I could learn that would make him shut the hell up?
She asked Asami, while still Mock glaring at me, and Asami put up her hands like she was surrendering.
Oh, no.
She said, and chuckled a bit.
I know better than to get involved in twin drama.
Kyla's jaw dropped, and she put her hands on her hips indignantly.
And just what is that supposed to mean?
She demanded, as her green eyes narrowed. Asami raised a hand to her mouth, but it didn't actually do anything to hide her giggle.
Don't worry. I know you're always right. Damn straight.
Kyla said with a firm nod, but I could tell from her grin that it was all in jest. She was probably still scared for Keegan, and I knew from experience having a joke with a friend could do wonders, even if it only distracted you for a few moments.
Now.
Kyla then said, as she looked at Carmen and me.
I'd imagine you two are exhausted.
Only when she said it did I realize that, man, I really was. Not just in my body, but in my head. In fact, as I raised a hand to my temple and rubbed, I could feel the beginning twinges of a headache. Hey, I said to Kyla and Asami, how do you two put up with seeing auras all the time? Is there a spell I can use or some medication I can take to dampen it? Asami's eyebrows raised, and she looked at Kyla, but Kyla just gave her an expression that seemed to say, I'll explain later.
We don't see auras all the time. I'm guessing you two are new to all of this.
Yeah, you could say that. I agreed. It probably wasn't the wisest idea to go advertising that to everyone, but Asami seemed trustworthy, and Kyla clearly really liked her, which had to count for something. Asami considered this for a moment, while tapping a finger against her lips.
If you aren't used to seeing aura, then your brain won't be used to it. It's like, if there's a ticking clock in a room, you eventually learn to tune out the sound of it. It becomes part of your natural environment, and you notice it less. I think the psychological term is habituation.
So we just have to wait until we get habituated? I asked as I continued rubbing at my temple. Maybe Jasper could give me a painkiller or something.
I think so. But if you two decide to stay in the sanctuary, you'll get habituated very quickly. We don't actually know if we'll be allowed to stay yet. Renee's having a meeting about it.
Kyla and Asami exchanged a look. I could tell it wasn't a good look, but I was too tired and too headachy to question it right this second. I just wanted to be shown to a room where I could sleep off the exhaustion, and also see if, when I woke up tomorrow, I hadn't dreamed all of this. If you all have rooms here, does that mean you, well, you live here? I then asked and looked between Kyla and Asami.
Not all eyes, but we do. There are magical threats all over the world, so it helps to be spread out. Makes sense.
Carmen said, and I noticed that she also seemed pretty tired.
So that means you have space for two more tonight?
Kyla gave a small laugh and nodded.
Follow me,
she said. She waved to Asami, as did I. And then Carmen and I followed Kyla out of the library and back into the labyrinth of hallways until we emerged in the entrance hall once again. Kyla led us up the huge staircase and down a corridor lined not with paintings or weapons, but with doors. Each of them had a brass nameplate screwed onto the front where a slip of paper could be inserted, like doorbells on an apartment building. Kyla came to one that had no name tag in the plate and jiggled the handle to find it was unlocked. She nudged the door open and then gestured for Carmen to enter.
If you need anything, my room's at the end of the hall. The only thing I need right now is a bed.
Carmen replied with a grin as she walked into the room.
Oh, and maybe a phone charger?
She pulled her phone out of her back pocket to show off the charging port.
Keegan has the same kind. I'll steal it from his room.
You know, I kind of didn't expect you guys to have, I don't know, electricity.
A lot of people seem to think that.
Kyla remarked and twisted her hair around her finger again. This time it seemed more amused than nervous.
I think it's because the last time the human world had widespread magic, technology didn't really exist. But I'll have you know, we have plenty. We even have Wi-Fi.
Oh, fancy. I teased, and then I looked at Carmen when I noticed her roll her eyes in the corner of my vision.
Maybe you don't need a room of your own.
She said to me, in Spanish, and gave a very unsubtle look toward Kyla. Good night, brat, I said, as I grabbed the handle of her door and pulled it closed. On the other side of the door, I heard a muffled,
bastard.
Ignore her, I said loudly to Kyla, who laughed.
Believe me, I understand your pain.
She told me with a grin and set off further down the hall. The next room we came across without a name in the door, she tried the handle and again found it unlocked.
Here we go, and my room is three doors that way.
She pointed further down the corridor, and I absently wondered just how long this hallway was. I wondered where this building was. Were we still inside the mirror in the motel room? Were we in a different country, on the moon, in a different dimension? I really needed to sleep. My head was pounding. But I had one more thing I needed to ask, and as Kyla went to leave, I caught her sleeve. I was careful not to grab, I just wanted to catch her attention, and she stopped to look at me.
Yes.
So Keegan said, he said the magical world is a secret. Renee won't, this council, they won't do anything to us, will they? To Carmen? They won't, like, kill us to make sure we don't accidentally reveal something to non-seers? Kyla stared at me for a very long moment, and very slowly she raised her hand and gently pried my hand from her sleeve. I hadn't even realized I was still holding her, and I let go readily.
Renee would never do that,
she said, and her green eyes seemed earnest.
Never mind the fact that it's a terrible thing to do. She would never destroy a magical bloodline for such a paranoid reason.
I could tell she wanted to ask why I would think something like that, but I'd seen that there were horrors in this world long before I'd learned about magic. She said magic was genetic, that the Rivera line is a lineage. Is magic not very common?
Less common than it once was. It's a recessive trait, and besides, from what I saw, killing you would be a very difficult thing. We have better uses for our time.
She flashed me a cheeky smile, and I couldn't help but laugh. All right, good to know, I said, and I put my hand on the doorknob of my new room. Thank you, Kyla, for all of this, really.
It's nothing,
she told me with a wave of her hand.
You saved my brother and me. Also, this is your world as much as it's mine. You deserve to know where you belong.
I'm still figuring that out, I admitted and looked up at the ceiling. Why were all the ceilings here so high? Maybe this place will have some of the answers I'm looking for. On account of the fact that I'd spent the better part of my adult life in the army, I was used to waking up at 6 a.m. on the dot every morning, even if I didn't need to. The next morning wasn't any different, and I laid in the plush double bed and stared up at the canopy, at the curtains suspended from each of the four posts, at the ornate fireplace in the far corner, and the handsome writing desk by the floor-to-ceiling window. So, it really had happened. That was about as far as I got in my thought process before the door to the room burst open and Carmen marched in. Her clothes were rumpled from presumably having spent the night on the floor of her own room, and her hair was pulled up into a haphazard messy bun.
It was real!
She cried out as she came to stand at the foot of my bed.
We're really not crazy!
I see you have as much respect for privacy as you did before I left.
I think we're in Colorado.
She went on, while completely ignoring me.
There were mountains outside my window.
Well, that made me pause, and I sat up in bed and dragged my hands down my face. I felt a hint of stubble on my jaw and wished I'd had the forethought to ask for a razor or something, or a clean set of clothes. I didn't much like the idea of putting on the same clothes I'd taken off to go to bed. We're in Colorado? We traveled 1,000 miles by a goddamn mirror?
I mean, I think it would be just as weird if we'd traveled 10 miles. Anyway, come on, get your ass in gear. I'm hungry and I have about 1,000,000 questions for your new girlfriend.
Well, girlfriend? I echoed as I stopped grasping around on the floor for my jeans and turned to stare at her.
Yeah?
My sister said with a grin.
Kyla, she's about this tall, blonde, and way out of your league.
She held a hand about level with her own ear, and I narrowed my eyes at her. You're a freaking comedian. Now get the hell out so I can get dressed. I'll meet you outside in a minute.
Touchy-touchy.
Carmen remarked as she shook her head, but she did leave. I quickly threw on my clothes and came outside a minute later to find neither of us had any idea where anything in this building actually was.
I'm pretty sure this place isn't totally physical. The hallways are too long and the rooms are also too big.
At this point, I'm just taking this stuff at face value. Magic mirrors? Fine. Bigger on the inside? Why not, Doctor Who? My sister snorted, and I spared her half a smirk before I pointed down the corridor. Well, we came from this direction last night, so the entrance hall must be that way. Carmen shrugged, which I figured was the most agreement I was going to get from her, and we headed down the corridor. After a few minutes, we found ourselves at the top of the large staircase once more, and we saw a couple other people, other eyes, heading into another room at the base of the stairs. We followed, and then we came into another huge, high-ceilinged hall filled with long tables and food.
Oh, yes!
Carmen cheered, and she dragged me over to one of the tables, shoved a plate in my hands, and started piling up one of her own with everything within reach.
I'm starving, Leo!
Came a voice as Carmen dropped a handful of peaches onto my own plate, because her own was too full.
Carmen!
We both turned to see Asami on the other side of the room, and she walked over to us.
How are you both? Did you sleep well?
Yeah, I did, actually. Still kinda shocked this is all actually happening, though. I ran my finger over my forearm, where the cut had been, until Asami had healed it. Where's Kyla?
Oh.
Asami's face became forlorn.
She's, having a bad morning.
She nodded over to one of the tables, and I saw a familiar head of blonde hair ducked low over a plate. Carmen and I walked over to her, and I rapped my knuckles on the tabletop to get Kyla's attention. Morning, I said, and I tried to make my voice cheerful, but Kyla's subdued expression didn't flicker. Are you all right?
Keegan had a rough night. Shit, is he all right? He's had a bad reaction to the knife. He should be fine eventually, but it's going to be several days before he's well enough to even leave the infirmary, let alone go on a job, so ours has already been reassigned. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Carmen asked, and glanced between Kyla and Asami.
He'll have plenty of time to convalesce. It's not quite that simple. Before eyes are allowed to go out and take jobs as they find them, they have to prove they're well-trained enough. This was our first job.
Kyla explained, and her tone was sharp with frustration.
The council has been dragging their feet on letting us get field experience, and now they're going to use the fact Keegan got hurt as a reason to drag their feet even more.
I'm sorry. I tried, since I was still trying to wrap my mind around everything.
Most eyes have quarters at the sanctuary, but they don't live here.
Only now did Kyla look up from her plate, and those familiar green eyes met mine.
They only come back if they need a researcher like Sami to provide extra information for a job. We were hoping for the chance to find somewhere that was ours.
I opened my mouth to ask why Kyla wanted to leave a place like this, filled with fascinating old books and enough space to keep everyone housed, and food that looked and smelled way better than the stuff I was living on in the army. But I was interrupted before I could even start by a voice behind me.
You're the new ones Jasper was going on about.
I turned to see a willowy woman with mid-length brown hair and startling blue eyes. She glanced at Carmen, then at me, then at Kyla.
You best be careful accepting food from her,
she said, and she cocked one hip out and gestured vaguely to Kyla. Then a smile pulled at her lips, one that made it clear she thought she was being incredibly witty.
She'll snare you with ivy and music. Piss off, Flora!
Asami snapped with unexpected ferocity, and both Carmen and I stared at her.
Or what?
The blue-eyed woman, Flora, snorted.
You'll throw a book at me!
Asami opened her mouth to retort, but she didn't have one ready. So she just glared at Flora, who laughed. Carmen turned to face her fully.
I might not be as well-versed in the magical world as you, but I still recognize a bitch when I see one. Now back the hell off!
I saw Flora look Carmen up and down and have that moment of wondering whether it was worth sparking a fight. I also saw the moment she very wisely decided it wasn't worth it. And with a toss of her hair over her shoulder, Flora flounced off. Carmen glared after her, with her hands clenched into fists.
Oh, she's lucky I didn't have a wrench on me.
She muttered under her breath, and then turned to Kyla and Asami.
What was all that shit about Ivy?
Kyla went pink and gently looked back down at her plate. Kyla? Yeah, well, you don't have to tell us if it's embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing.
She sighed as she wrapped a strand of hair around her finger.
It's just not very accepted. Me and Keegan are half-fey.
Carmen and I both gaped. What, fey? Like fairies? She'd told us fairies existed along with werewolves and vampires and whatnot, but fairies could mate with humans, have children with them? That's...
So cool!
Carmen gasped, and she didn't seem to notice she'd interrupted me.
Is that why your talent is with light magic? Yes.
Kyla nodded.
But it's not cool. Half-fey are disliked by the courts of Avalon and by humans. We have the ability to lie, and we're mostly immune to cold iron, unlike full-blooded fairies. But we can still freely leave and enter the land of fairy without becoming trapped, unlike humans. If a half-fey wanted to, they could challenge the authority of the crowns.
Iron? Oh, is that what the knife was made of? Is that why Keegan had a bad reaction to it? Kyla nodded again.
Keegan and I... We were raised in the sanctuary. We had to grow up here because the rest of the magical world was too dangerous, but even here, well, you saw Flora. It's hard for people to trust us because fey are tricksters. When you can't lie, you get very good at twisting words. Ignore Flora.
Asami told Kyla firmly, and she took Kyla's hands in both of her own to squeeze them affectionately.
She's childish, and you're easily twice as good as she is, regardless of experience. Still,
Kyla said, and she looked up at Carmen and me again.
Most eyes choose this career path later in life, maybe 18 or so, like the army.
Her green eyes came to rest on me, and I fought not to squirm under their scrutiny. Well, you know, the facilities here are a lot better than at the army. And there were insufferable assholes in my unit, too. You just gotta learn to ignore them.
And if Leo and I get the go-ahead to join up, we can help you guys finish your jobs and get a place of your own. Between him being in the army and me having no regard for my physical safety, the four of us will be unstoppable. Oh, sorry. I meant five of us.
She grinned at Asami, who smiled back appreciatively. Kyla managed a small smile at that, and she looked over at Asami.
We would need someone to be the brains of the operation.
She conceded, and Asami gave a laugh.
Sounds good to me.
She said, but the smile died on her lips a moment later when she saw something behind Carmen and me. We both turned and saw another woman had walked into the room. She was dressed all in black, and her face was downturned as she shuffled in. Who's she? I asked lightly, even as I saw the somber mood that had overtaken the whole dining hall.
Diane. Her girlfriend, Victoria, was killed on a job in Phoenix, along with Victoria's hunting partner. Phoenix has been a disaster.
Kyla added, and she looked over at Diane sympathetically.
The council's refused to let any eyes try and take the job on until they figure out a better approach.
I turned to my plate, which thanks to Carmen was just a pile of fruit, and thought of what Carmen and I had said to Renee last night. I still wanted to join these people. It felt right, in a way, like I'd had this piece of me missing. And I hadn't even noticed, but I still tried to fill it. I joined the army because I'd wanted to fight and defend. And stuck with Carmen, because she was the only person who'd really understood me. But did I want to join an organization where death was such a common possibility? Did I want Carmen to join an organization like that? Are you sure about this? I asked her now. You work as a mechanic. You've never had to...
I got fired from my job as a mechanic.
Carmen reminded me, and her mouth was set in a firm line.
I like the idea of doing something meaningful. And if it means I get to stick with you and learn fucking magic, then I'm sold.
I pursed my lips, but then my sister looked at Asami and Kyla before I could respond.
Could you guys teach me? I'd be happy to.
Asami said with a smile.
And you too, Leo, if you want.
Leo? A man's voice made me look up. I didn't recognize this guy, but he'd clearly been looking for me because he looked from me to Asami and back again, and then pointed to my sister. And Carmen, I presume? Yeah, I said as I slowly looked him up and down, and some part of my brain was already trying to figure out how to take him down if he became a threat. But that turned out not to be necessary. Renee sent me, he said to us. She'd like to speak with you both?